One of the most moving kinos that we recite on Tisha B'Av is the kinah B'tzeisi Mitzrayim, B'tzeisi Mirushalayim. It is a kinah that highlights the differences between, on the one hand, the wonderful events, miraculous events, which surrounded Yetzias Mitzrayim, in contrast to the tragic events, which of course make up the day of Tisha B'Av. And we go through great detail in highlighting how different, how fundamentally different these two milestones, in a sense, in Jewish history were, B'tzeisi Mitzrayim, B'tzeisi Mirushalayim. This similarity and difference between the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the events of Yetzias Yerushalayim, the events of Churban, the events of Golos, of Tisha B'Av, these similarities and differences do not end with just this kinah, but this is a recurring theme throughout the day, both the day of Pesach, the days which celebrate Yetzias Mitzrayim, as well as the day of Tisha B'Av, the day that marks commemoration of the Churban HaBayis, the Golos, the exile of Klal Yisrael. We find this even within intricate Minhagei Yisrael, different customs that we have. In fact, one of the reasons that is given for the custom of eating eggs at the Seder night is to highlight the fact that the night of Pesach happens to fall out on the same night of the calendar, same night of the week as the night of Tisha B'Av, and to remind us, even at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of the Suda, of the meal, the Suda Mafsekes, that we eat on Erev Tisha B'Av, that in a certain sense there is this connection between the Leil HaSeder, the night of our festive meal of freedom, and the meal immediately preceding Tisha B'Av. We find other similarities, even in the way we recount the story of the Churban and the way we retell the story of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Halacha tells us concerning Yetzias Mitzrayim, Maschil B'Gnus U'Mesayim B'Shevach, that we are required to tell over the story on Pesach night, beginning with the degradations, beginning with the Gnus, that which is embarrassing for us, speaking about Avadim Hayinu L'Far B'Mitzrayim, the bad times, Bechila of the Avodah Zarah Avosenu, the time when we began as idolaters, and we move on, we progress to Vayotzienu Hashem Mitzrayim, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, Ve'achshav Kevanu Amokam Lavodoso, Hashem brought us close to serve Him. We compare and we contrast the bad times with the good times. This is the format, this is the tzura of the mitzvah of retelling the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we find the similarity expresses itself on Tisha B'Av as we tell over the story of Tisha B'Av in the words of Yirmiyahu HaNavi, the Eicha Yashva Badad. We do not only highlight the situation now, the tragedy, the desolation, the destruction of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, but we compare it and we contrast it. Ha'ir Abasiyam, Sarasi, Bamdinos, the nation, the city, the glory of Yerushalayim, the grandeur of Yerushalayim, what the situation of the Jewish people was in their homeland at one time, and it is only through the appreciation of what was can we begin to discuss the awful situation of Churban of Golos that we commemorate on Tisha B'Av. So perhaps if Pesach, if the Leil HaSeder, is the Maschil B'Gnus U'Mesayim B'Shevach, we begin with the low points in Jewish history, reaching the culmination of glory, of Geula, of redemption. So Tisha B'Av is the exact opposite. We begin with Geula. In a sense, it's a Maschil B'Shevach U'Mesayim B'Gnus. We begin speaking of praise of the Jewish people, praise of the Beis HaMikdash, praise of Yerushalayim and Eretz Israel. And in contrast to that praise, Eicha Yashva Badad, what we have today. This idea that Yetzias Mitzrayim, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the Sipur of Tisha B'Av go hand in hand in terms of the format of the discussion, in terms of even the night of the week that they fall out on, and in terms of the various Minhagi Yisrael, the customs that have developed to highlight these similarities, and the ultimate description of this kinah of B'tzeisi Mitzrayim and B'tzeisi Mirushalayim, at first glance, is a very depressing thought. Because what it would appear to be saying is that as much as we accomplished at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the great heights that the Jewish people were lifted to at the time of the Geula, in its sense, have been undone. Everything that we strive for and everything that we accomplished and the wonderful Yom Tov of Pesach, the leading up to Kabbalah Satorah, the Pesach Shavuot season, the highlight of the Jewish calendar, has in effect no longer exists. The Shivasa B'Tamuz, 3 weeks, 9 days, and Tisha B'Av have taken over, and what used to be a period of glory is now a time of mourning and desolation and destruction. So how could we understand this comparison? How can we understand the significance between the Pesach and the Tisha B'Av without drawing this most tragic and depressing conclusion that Pesach no longer exists, Geula no longer exists, Yetzias Mitzrayim is no longer relevant in light of Churban? How do we take a second look at Tisha B'Av through the eyes of Pesach? And how do we take a look at Pesach through the eyes of Tisha B'Av? So I think that the answer can be found in a phrase that we recite in the davening, a phrase that sometimes we perhaps do not pay attention to the significance of it. But when we speak about Yetzias Mitzrayim in the brachos following Kriya Shema, so we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only for taking us out of Mitzrayim, but for taking us out L'Cheirus Olam, for everlasting freedom. And we have to stop for a moment and ask ourselves, do we understand what this phrase means? Do we appreciate what this phrase means? L'Cheirus Olam, is it true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out L'Cheirus Olam? Yes, it's true. He took us out of Mitzrayim over 3,000 years ago. But just a casual look at Jewish history appears to give us a very different impression. Jewish history appears to be anything but Cheirus Olam. It was a very temporary Cheirus. The times that we were taken out of Mitzrayim, we entered into Eretz Yisrael. A few hundred years later, we were in Bavel. We were Al Naharos Bavel. And although it's true, yes, we returned to Eretz Yisrael shortly afterwards, the period of Bayesheni was far from Cheirus Olam. It was far from an everlasting freedom. For the overwhelming majority of the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Jewish people were not even independent in terms of governing themselves. They were under the rule of the Persians and under the rule of the Greeks and later under the rule of the Romans. And of course, following the events of Churban Bayesheni, so how can we speak of the Jewish people as being the Cheirus Olam? Centuries of pogroms and crusades and the Holocaust, Inquisition and expulsions, how could that be termed as a Cheirus Olam? If anything, Yetzias Mitzrayim was a very temporary Cheirus. What is the significance of this phrase in Atfila of Cheirus Olam? So I think that in order to understand what we mean, what Chazal referred to with this term, Cheirus Olam, we have to get a little bit of a better understanding just what took place at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Just what precisely are we commemorating, are we celebrating when we celebrate the Yom Tov of Pesach, when we sit down to the Leil HaSeder. So we mentioned a little while ago that the mitzvah of Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim, retelling the events of Mitzrayim, takes on the format of Maschil B'Gnus U'Misayim B'Shevach. We begin with the low points in our history, reaching up to the climax of V'yotzienu Hashem in Mitzrayim. Yet Chazal tell us in Maseches Pesachim that there are really two different versions of Maschil B'Gnus U'Misayim B'Shevach. How do we go about highlighting the transition from Gnus, from degradation, to Shevach, to praise? Which point in Jewish history, which point are we emphasizing of Gnus and Shevach? So Chazal tell us there were two different opinions. One emphasized Avodim Hayinu, we were physical slaves, V'yotzienu Hashem in Mitzrayim, the contrast, we are no longer slaves. One time we were in physical bondage, building pyramids to Paro, we are no longer have to work for Paro. That's one dimension of Gnus and Shevach. A second dimension, Midchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu, we used to serve idols. Now we are privileged and to be given the Torah of Hashem. We are now able to serve the one and only God. These appear to be two very, very different versions of the Yetzias Mitzrayim story. The first version is emphasizing the physical deliverance, whereas the second is emphasizing the spiritual dimension of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Who is right? Which one, in effect, do we paskin like? So we're all familiar with the text of our Haggadah. They are both true. Perhaps it's not a machlokas, it's not even a disagreement. Both dimensions, elu ve'elu divar lokim chayim, both parts of the story are true, because in effect, two different events took place at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. There was a physical deliverance, a physical geula, and there was a ruchnius deliverance, a ruchnius geula. Physical and spiritual went hand in hand at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So if we want to know, what are we celebrating on Pesach? Pesach is a double cheirus, where we pick up our cups of wine and we recite Kiddush on Pesach night, Zman Cheiruseinu. We are celebrating the cheirus of physical world. We are also celebrating the cheirus of the soul, the cheirus of spirituality. Now that we understand that Pesach and its Yetzias Mitzrayim as a whole really has a dual theme to it, physical cheirus and spiritual cheirus, perhaps we can now go back to the term, to that somewhat mysterious phrase of cheirus olam. What do we mean when we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu each and every day in our Brichos Kriya Shema for taking us out of Mitzrayim l'cheirus olam? Which dimension of cheirus are we focusing on? The first dimension of cheirus, physical freedom? Perhaps not. Perhaps that wasn't quite olam. Cheirus olam, well documented throughout our long history, there were times when our physical freedom was taken away for us. But the second dimension of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which in a sense is the more important of the two, that which Yetzias Mitzrayim ultimately was able to accomplish, Vayotzienu Hashem Mitzrayim, Vayotzi'achlas Ha'amim Mitzrayim, Ta'avdunas Alakim Alahar Hazeh, the ultimate purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was not just to take us out of a physical slavery, but rather was to create the Am Hashem, the nation of God, to give us the Torah, to bring us 7 weeks later to Har Sinai, that second dimension of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of Achshav Kevanu Amokam Lavodoso, that in truth was Olam, that was forever, that was eternal, and there is nothing that could ever remove that. There is no pogrom, there is no crusade, there is no Holocaust that can ever, ever destroy the Achshav Kevanu Hamokam Lavodoso. Just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is forever, is Kayam La'ol Me'alamim, so too that bris, that covenant between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, the Achshav Kevanu Hamokam Lavodoso, Yetzias Mitzrayim of Yetzias HaNefesh, that is a Cheiros Olam, that is there forever. That can no ever, ever be destroyed. This idea that there were two geulos, there were two redemptions, and throughout our history, there were golios, there were many, many exiles in so many different shapes and forms, but there was a common theme throughout all of our golos, throughout all of the times of Churban, that it is possible to destroy the physical cheiros, but it is impossible to ever take away the spiritual side of Cheirus from Klal Yisrael. And perhaps the story that highlights this the most poignant way is a famous story that appears in Maseches Avodah Zarah by Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, one of the Asar Harugei Malchus, one of the 10 Tamidei Chachamim, was killed in a brutal fashion by the Romans following the period of Bayesheni, following the Churban that we commemorate on Tisha B'Av. And in fact, one of the most moving kinos that we recite on Tisha B'Av itself, we recite a similar type of a kino on Yom Kippur, highlights the Asar Harugei Malchus, the 10 great Torah leaders who were killed al Kiddush Hashem. And Chazal tell us, elaborate upon why Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan was chosen to be one of the Asar Harugei Malchus. There was a gezeira, there was a decree by the Roman government not to study Torah. Rabbi Chanina ben Trajon refused to obey. Not only did he refuse to obey, but he publicly studied Torah and publicly taught Torah. And in fact, he was sitting on the street with a Sefer Torah in front of him, publicly spreading the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he was caught by the Roman guards, sentenced to death. And he was sentenced to die in a most cruel fashion, that he was actually wrapped up in his Sefer Torah, and the Sefer Torah was set on fire. As the students surrounded him, as the Tamidim, Rabbi Chanina ben Trajon, saw this horrible event unfolding in front of their very eyes, they asked him, Rebbe, What do you see? What can you tell us? What are your last words of inspiration as you leave this world? And Rabbi Chanina ben Trajon responded to his Talmidim, the words that would ultimately become the hallmark of Jewish martyrdom throughout the years, that Osios Parchos Ba'avir, that the letters are flying up to Shemayim. The scroll, the cloth, the physical parchment is being burnt, being consumed by the flames, but the neshama, the soul of the Torah, the letters of the Torah can never be consumed. The letters of the Torah go back to their maker and go back to continue the next generation, and the students, continuing with this inspiration, Rabbi Chanina ben Trajon, became the next generation of Torah leaders and would lead Klal Yisrael, following in the footsteps of their great Rebbe, instructing them in the Osios, the letters that can never be destroyed. And in fact, this story ultimately describes Churban in each and every generation, that the physical greatness of the Jewish people can be destroyed, Eretz Yisrael can be made desolate, Yerushalayim can be destroyed, even the Beis HaMikdash, the sticks and stones of the Beis HaMikdash can be put up into flames, but the soul of the Jewish people, the soul of Klal Yisrael, the Torah of Klal Yisrael, can never ever be destroyed. And that is the Cheiros Olam. It is that dimension of Cheiros, of Yetzias Mitzrayim, not so much the physical Geula, but the spiritual Geula, that ultimately remains true for all generations. These are the words, the inspirational words of Rabbi Chanina ben Trajon, which were true in the days of Rabbi Chanina ben Trajon, and they are true even until our very generation. I'd like just to share one or two personal insights following really in the footsteps of the words, inspirational words of Rabbi Chanina ben Trajon. When I was originally asked to speak about this inyanim topics related to Tisha B'Av, so I didn't realize at the time that this particular shiur would coincide with something that took place in my own personal life just a couple of days ago. I had the privilege to be able to spend the last week in Europe, in Poland and in Germany. I was actually spent it really as one of the representatives of the OU as going to the yeshiva in Berlin. The yeshiva in Berlin is a true Makom Torah where there are Bnei Torah who are studying Yomim V'Layla. And the reason why I was asked to go for this past week was that they were celebrating a Chag HaSmicha. It was the first Chag HaSmicha that was ever given, smicha that was given to two boys in the yeshiva, two bacharim, the first time that smicha had been granted in Berlin since before World War II. So it was quite a moving experience. But besides going and participating in the Chag HaSmicha and spending time in Shabbos in Berlin with the bacharim from the yeshiva, we also took a group of the bacharim from the yeshiva, and we went to some of the places in Poland, some of the places of Golos, of Churban, throughout Poland. And I just wanted to share one or two insights that I felt over the last couple of days, which I think very much reflect some of the themes that we're discussing today. One of the cities that we went to with the Bacharim, and these are Bacharim, just to put things in the proper perspective, these are Bacharim primarily from Russia, from Hungary. These are Bacharim who, until very recently, not only did not know much about Torah, many of them didn't even know that they were Jewish until several years ago. And these boys, these holy neshamas, we went to some of the places of our most tragic parts of our collective Jewish history. I want to share just one insight that happened when we were visiting in the city of Krakow. So when the city of Krakow came to, in a sense, its tragic end during the years of the Holocaust, and there was actually documented that there was a speech that was given the night before the Krakow ghetto was liquidated by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, that the individual who was responsible for that crime of evacuating the entire Krakow ghetto and sending the Jews to their deaths. So this individual gave a speech, in a sense, what he termed a victory speech. And his victory speech was, we are celebrating the end of Jewry in Krakow. And his words were, Krakow Jewry no longer exists. They may have been here for 600 years, but Krakow Jewry is a myth at this point. They no longer exist. These were the words of Osa Russia on the night before that horrible event in the city of Krakow. That same day, we were privileged to daven in the shul of the Ramah. The Ramah was, of course, the Rav of Krakow in the 1500s. The Ramah, whose words we live ad hayom hazeh until today, all of Ashkenazi Jewry is indebted to the Piske Halacha of the Ramah, the Minhagim of the Ramah. We live ad hayom hazeh based on the words that came out of that small shul in Krakow almost 500 years ago. And I remember thinking at the time of the contrast between the two things that we had heard. On the one hand, we hear an individual following in the footsteps of those people who had burned Rabbi Chanina ben Tragia in his Sefer Torah, declaring that the Jewish people, in a sense, no longer exist. And yet, we know the truth. The truth is that as horrible, as tragic as the destruction that took place in the years of the Holocaust, it was the body of Klal Yisrael that was burnt. It was the body, it was the physical dimension of Klal Yisrael that was destroyed, but the Nesham of Klal Yisrael is still alive and well. The words of the Ramah are still there, and the same day as we saw the physical destruction of the Krakow ghetto, we had this chus, I had this chus to say a shiur in the Ramah shul to Bacharim, to a group of Bacharim who are now learning Torah in Berlin. One can imagine the feeling, one can imagine the inspiration to be able to say, literally following in the footsteps of Rabbi Chanina ben Tragia, to be able to say that yes, the Guf was destroyed. Yes, Krakow, in a sense, the Krakow of the Ramah, the physical stones of Krakow don't exist, but the words of the Ramah are alive and as well and are guiding the Jewish people today, no less than they were 500 years ago in that small town of what was a one-time Jewish Krakow. And as we continued on our journey through Poland, so leaving Krakow on the way to Warsaw, another Ir V'Ein B'Yisrael, we stopped in a little town along the way, a town that we know today as Ger, which was the seat of the Ger Rebbes, a place where, although the town itself was fairly small, it was the destination of thousands, of tens of thousands of holy Jews who would come on the Yom Ha'Roim, would come in the Shul Shragolim to visit the Ger Rebbe. We saw pictures, actually, of what it looked like in Ger in the time of the Yom Ha'Roim. We were davening in the streets because there wasn't enough room in the Ger Beis Medrash for all the Mispalalim. That was Ger of old, and nothing in this world is coincidental. We went in to see what was left of the Ger Beis Medrash, what was left of the Ger Beis HaKvaros, and the symbol of what was left struck me, with especially in light of what I was planning to say today. Our guide took us upstairs to which had been the top floor of the Ger Beis Medrash. Everything else had been taken, everything else had been stolen. There was one thing that was left. The Ger Rebbe's private matzah oven was still present. That had not been destroyed. The matzah oven, the baking of the matzahs that had taken place in Europe 70, 80, 90, perhaps 150 years ago, was still there. And I thought to myself, this is the message of today's shiur, that the Lechem Oni, the Yetzias Mitzrayim, that the Pesach night, the Betzesim Mitzrayim, Betzesim Yushalayim, that even in the time of Churban, so somehow Yetzias Mitzrayim is still there, Yetzias Mitzrayim stays with us, the symbol of the matzah oven of the Ger Rebbe of last generations. So that is the ultimate symbol of the eternity of Klal Yisrael, that the Ramah Shul, the Ramah Torah is still there. The Jews of Krakow are no longer there, but the Ramah Torah is there. The Jews of Ger are no longer there, but the matzah bakeries of Ger have been transplanted, have been placed in other places in the world, primarily in Eretz Yisrael, and as such, the Yetzias Mitzrayim is not something that was ever removed, chalila v'chalila, but rather the Yetzias Mitzrayim is alive and well. It's the Yetzi of Ruchnius that is still with us until this very day. There's one other dimension, another relationship between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Yetzias Yerushalayim, and which ultimately will hopefully lead us to the end of that kinnah of Beshuvi Yerushalayim, how we go back, Chadish Shemena Kikedem, what will ultimately bring us back to Eretz Yisrael and back to Yerushalayim? If we take a look at the celebration of the Yom Tov of Pesach, so we know that the primary mitzvah of Pesach is unfortunately the mitzvah that we no longer fulfill in the classic sense, the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, Meheri Yabana Mikdosh, we will be able to fulfill that, the sacrifice of the Korban Pesach once again. But the mitzvah of Korban Pesach is a fascinating mitzvah because in a certain sense it breaks the rules of other mitzvahs. The halacha tells us that there are only two positive mitzvahs that if a person fails to fulfill, he is chayef kares, he is literally cut off from his nation. One is the mitzvah of Bris Milah, and the other is the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. And we have to stop and ask ourselves, what is it about these two mitzvahs that carry with them this severity, that one who fails to perform these mitzvahs is literally cut off from the rest of the Jewish people? So I think the answer is fairly simple. It is these two mitzvahs more than any other mitzvah that define a person becoming part of the Jewish nation. Bris Milah is obvious. Lachnisa b'vrisa shlav mavino, the entering into the fold, the entering into the bris, the covenant of Avraham Avinu, of course, is symbolized by the Bris Milah itself. But the Korban Pesach as well, because the Korban Pesach is not just a korban, it's not just a sacrifice, but rather it's the korban that commemorates the becoming Am Hashem. It was on that Erev Pesach in Mitzrayim over 3,000 years ago that a group of individuals transformed to become a nation. And as such, the Korban Pesach is our yearly rededication to being part of that Am Hashem to such an extent that the person who fails to have a Bris Milah, the person who fails to participate in Korban Pesach, is by definition v'nichras me'amav. By definition, he has taken himself out of being part of that nation. The mitzvah of Korban Pesach is such that it defines the very essence of becoming Jewish. In fact, the Rashi in Chumash in Parshas Baaloscha quotes a Maimer Chazal that one would have thought that when a person converts, a person becomes a ger, the first thing you should do is offer a Korban Pesach. One would have thought that. In fact, the halacha is not that way. The halacha is he has to wait until the first Erev Pesach like everybody else and offer it together with the rest of the Jewish people. But one could have conceived of such a halacha. The Gemara requires a pasuk to negate such a thought that I would have made a case to say that every time a person converts, he has to bring a Korban Pesach. Why is that? The answer is obvious. If Korban Pesach is the definition of entering into the Am Hashem, so when a person becomes a ger, that's in effect what he's doing. The halacha is that he waits a few months until the first Erev Pesach comes and then he completes his knisa, his entering into the Am Hashem. But the idea that Korban Pesach is synonymous with entering into become part of the Am, the nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that idea is very much true. In a certain sense, not only is this true concerning Korban Pesach, but it's really true concerning all of the Yomim Tovim, particularly the Shalosh Regalim. We find that there's a mitzvah on each of the Shalosh Regalim. It's a mitzvah to come, Aliyah L'Regel, to come and visit the Beis HaMikdash. And in fact, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Chagiga that Chazal instituted certain halachos to enable the Jewish people to join together, to break down some of the differences between different members of Klal Yisrael, lest the purpose of Aliyah L'Regel, the idea of Kol Yisrael coming together, not be fulfilled. The notion that the Yom Tov is a time of Achdus in Klal Yisrael, Yom Tov is a time when the Jewish people come together, this is something which is absolutely critical. There is a fascinating story which highlights this idea, a story that is told over the name of the Brisker Rav, that apparently the Brisker Rav received an aliyah on Yom Tov. He was called up to the Torah on Yom Tov, as we know it's customary. After one receives an aliyah, Mishaberach is made. And the text of the Mishaberach on Yom Tov concludes with, V'yizkeh lalos l'regel imkoyis olachav v'nomar amein. The person who received the aliyah should merit to go aliyah l'regel, to come to visit the Beis HaMikdash on the Yom Tovim, in Kol Yisrael Echav, with all of the other members of the Jewish people. And apparently the Gabbai must have missed a few words in the Mishaberach, and he concluded the Mishaberach by saying, V'yizkeh lalos l'regel v'nomar amein. And he forgot, by mistake, he left out the phrase, Im Kol Yisrael Echav. He deleted the phrase with all the other Jews. The Brisker Rav stopped the Gabbai and said, you have to repeat the Mishaberach. So the Gabbai said to him, repeat the Mishaberach, I missed a few words, it's not ma'akev, it's not an integral, it's not a mitzvah. So he said, no. Said the Brisker Rav, to say that you're going to come to the Beis HaMikdash without Kosrel Echov, in the brisket terminology, this is Nishka Aliyah L'Regel. That's not an Aliyah L'Regel. Aliyah L'Regel means not to come to the Beis HaMikdash as an individual, that you can do 365 days a year. Aliyah L'Regel by definition means Im Kosrel Echov. And if you don't mention Im Kosrel Echov, then the Mishaberech is invalid. It has to be repeated. This is the power of Pesach as the leading of the first of the Shalosh Regalim, and of course all the Shalosh Regalim, this idea, this notion that it's something which unifies the Jewish people, and it shouldn't surprise us that this unification of the Jewish people, particularly of Aliyah L'Regel, of course revolves around the Beis HaMikdash, because the ultimate miyached of Klal Yisrael, that which is ultimately the greatest unifying force within the Jewish people, is the Beis HaMikdash itself. And perhaps now we can understand the tragedy of tragedies, what brought down the second Beis HaMikdash, and why we're still suffering thousands of years later. Say Chazal Maseches Yuma that the second Beis HaMikdash was brought down by Sinas Chinam, by baseless hatred. We can understand why, when there's Sinas Chinam, there cannot be a Mikdash. If the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is not only to connect us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's to connect us to one another, to create that bond of an Am Hashem in place of Sinas Chinam, when Sinas Chinam is present, then the Beis HaMikdash cannot possibly stand. So it is only through this understanding, this appreciation of the significance of the Mikdash as a miyached of Klal Yisrael that can ultimately help us bring back the third Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash that was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, will bring about the third Beis HaMikdash, which will be rebuilt based on Avas Chinam, based on Avas Yisrael. So as we look to the Yom Tov of Pesach, as we sit down on Erev Tisha B'Av, and we eat those eggs, and remember the eggs that we ate just a few months earlier, as we say the words of Betzeisim in Mitzrayim, and Betzeisim in Yerushalayim. So let's think, keep our minds focused on some of these messages. Let's remember that the Torah of the Ramah that went up to Shemayim, as the Jews of Krakow were being physically annihilated, just as the Torah of Rabbi Chanan ben Trajan went up to heaven, as the body of Rabbi Chanan ben Trajan was being burnt in the fire. Let's not forget that eternal symbol of the matzah oven of the city of Ger, which stands as a testimony to the eternity of Klal Yisrael. And let's not forget that ultimately what we can do, we can have a share in bringing back the beauty of Klal Yisrael. We can once again go from the maschil of Gnus and Messiah B'Shevach. The share that we can have in this ultimate geula is being miyached Klal Yisrael, bringing ourselves together with expressing Avas Yisrael one to another, may we be zocha in our day to once again maschil b'gnus u'misayim b'shevach.